of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, the name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place. And I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Well, as we said, Pastor is out this week. He is spending some time and looking for wisdom and guidance and leadership on our year 2019. Looking forward to seeing what the theme is. The theme last year was so good. Prayer, I tell you, I think it helped a lot of us. If it didn't, then there's something wrong with you. It was good. And so looking forward to see what's going to happen this year. So Pastor asked Brother Pringle to come preach to us this today and this morning and this evening. And I'll just tell you just a little bit about him before he comes to preach. Brother Pringle is a native of Ash Grove, Missouri. He went to attend Baptist Bible College in Springfield in 1979. He was assistant pastor in two churches, in Salisbury, Maryland for 7 years, and then in Ottumwa in Iowa for 4 years. He was a pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church down in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, for 22 years, and I'll correct it this morning. I got it wrong. He lives now in Springfield, attends down there at Berean. He and his wife, Patsy. Patsy was supposed to be with us today, but she's recovering from a surgery, so we want to keep her in your prayers. We would love to have met her, but we understand that as well. So looking forward to see what the Lord has for us through Brother Pringle. So, Brother, go ahead and come preach.
You know Patsy would have to be a good lady to put up with somebody like me, don't you? I said to some of the ladies in the office today as I was going out, I said, my wife's like an angel. She's up near harping about something all the time. But anyway. Some of the people used to say, I don't know how you live with her, him, you know. And one time the preacher preaching message was pretty tough, and a woman went out and said, preacher, if you was my husband, I'd give you arsenic to drink. He said, if you was my wife, I'd drink it. Why did I say all that? I don't know. That's the Spirit to guide me. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit, do you? We sure had a good time today. I don't know if you have or not, but I've had a good time. I like the songs you sing about my Redeemer. Hello. Yeah, it belongs to all of us that wants to receive him. Amen. And man, when I see him one day face to face, wow, when I go down in death and all of a sudden, phew, he wake up and I'm right there. Woo! Hello! No, it's not faith anymore now.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. And it wouldn't hurt for some of us to get a little excited before we go. Hello. Yeah. And, you know, smile and all that when you sing. Like somebody knows that somebody's home on the inside.
Yeah.
You know? Hello. You're doing all this singing. And so when I was in a conference one time where B.R. Lakin was. B.R. Lakin, anybody know B.R. Lakin? Ever heard of B.R. Lakin? Well, he's an old evangelist that when he first started, he went out on horseback and rode on horseback to various meetings and so on and so forth. But B.R. Lakin is a fellow that used to have a fellow to sing for him before he preached. I didn't know nothing about the guy that sing for him, but at this conference, this man was there. And now, B.R. Lakin is old enough, I mean, he's barely moving, you know, and so on. And so anyway, well, they said, well, we're going to have A.T. Humphreys come and sing. Special. Now, B.R. wasn't preaching that night. But anyway, you know, they used to say there's a generation gap, you know. Well, anyway, that night, A.T. Humphreys got up and sang. I didn't know him, had never heard him sing or anything, but I just know he sang before B.R. Lakin preached. And that night, he sang the song when he reached down his hand for me. And he just sang it, and he just kept singing it. And he said, when he reached down, he reached way down. He reached way down for me. And when he got done singing, B.R. Lakin was sitting back here listening, just smiling, like beaming all over. So it's like, I can't wait. He wasn't even preaching that night, you know. And he got done singing, and he took his cane, and at this conference, the conference leader let B.R. do whatever he wanted to, and he come up to the pulpit, and he said, now, anybody can preach after somebody sings like that. Hello! I used to have my people sing special. I said, I don't care about your talent, your ability. I want you to preach a message in song before I get up there and preach the Word of God. Okay? We've got to be interested in our Redeemer, you know, and what He's done for us. And my, you all do a good job. And I'm just going home flying on a cloud. The problem is, see, you country folks understand that if you feed a stray dog, he'll come back. You know? Dogs and cats, I used to tell my kid, don't feed them dogs and cats, they'll be staying here, you know? So it's too late for you, I'm telling you. You know? But anyway, I know the pastor's been praying, but he may change his mind about starting me off here the first of the year, but anyway. I'm not sure he got all his prayers answered right, but I'm sure glad to be here. And we've had a good time with you and what have you. I got more to say tonight than I got time. And I've always, you know, when you get my age, you got more stories than people got time. But anyhow, I hope that I help you tonight. the Word of God's always a help. But I'm going to do just a little different. Every time I preach, I hope somebody learns something. I hope they take something with them. What good does it do if you come and you don't eat? I mean, hello. So you get a feast once in a while. It won't hurt you. The other day, where was it? Oh, I was in Ashgrove, Missouri, preaching down there, and they had a meal and so on. And by the way, the meal today was fantastic. I thought I was going to speak in other tongues tonight, but it's all Italian, so I thought maybe. But anyway, I thought maybe that's what they was trying to do, but it was good stuff, and I stuffed it good, you know. So we were down at Ash Grove and so on. I don't even know where I was going with that thought. But anyway, we'll leave it there and let somebody else take care of it sometime. I'm just thrilled to be here and to be with you, and I hope that we learn something together tonight from God's Word. And because God's Word is just so good.
Amen.
Okay? So if you'll stand with us, and we'll read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to try to preach a message tonight on, I said before that we need to be interested in being transformed, you know, into better servants and so on. And I want to try to share with you tonight, I don't like that word share, I like the word preach. I'm going to try to preach the word to you tonight. in regard to three meanings of the word "word" that will give you victory in your life. And I'll show the example of that victory in Jesus Christ, the greatest example, before we leave tonight about midnight. But anyway, no, I'll get there before that. But anyway, how many likes victory? Oh man, I love victory, don't you? I raised my kids to be competitive. You know, go out there and be competitive. If you don't win, make them think you want to win. You know, go out there and do it. You know, and I got some stories I could tell about that. I was in Maryland. Assistant pastor has to do everything a pastor don't want to do. And he called me one day and he said, "Preacher, the youth director has resigned, and next year you're going to be a teaching in a Christian school." I said, "Oh, I am, yeah." "And you're going to teach them how to play soccer?" I said, "Never played the game in my life. Never read about it. Don't know anything about it." He said, "You better learn." And that year, we played a team that had been playing for 14 years and beat them. I like to win. And the coach of the other team, he's walking the sidelines saying, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it." Yeah. I like to win. But anyway. And so anyhow, by the way, we are on the winning side.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. Let me just give you a tidbit of information. I said I got more stories. You got time. I will get to reading that tomorrow. When we think of amazing grace, or when we think of the word grace, we always say unmerited favor. And there's sometimes I meet people, you know, I say, "Well, how you doing?" They say, "Well, better than I deserve." Yeah, that's true. But don't magnify the unmerited. We've crossed over to favor. Hallelujah! Amen? I mean, don't just rest on the unmerited. I understand that right clearly. I'm a sinner. I said I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. It was unmerited. The whole thing was unmerited. I didn't deserve a thing. But now I'm on the unmerited favor side. Now I'm a child of God and I'm on the favor side. Amen. So magnify the favor. All right. Let's get back here to reading the word. Okay. I said get back to it. I ain't even started yet, have I? If you haven't found 2 Timothy chapter 3, just turn anywhere. It's all good. Okay. He said in verse 1, and we're not going to read the whole chapter. In verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said this, "Know also." He said this, "Know also." Understand this, Timothy. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. How many know or there? There was a time that I'd heard preachers preach about the days of coming. No, I'm living in them right now. I don't know how much worse it can get. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul was in jail, and he said, and I'll read here in a minute. He said, "Timothy, I want you to be encouraged. Things are going to get worse." Hello. You know what you need, though, when things get worse? You better have it. You better believe it. You better have a little faith in it before you get to there. Well, let's move on. So, let's go down here to about verse number 7 now. It says we're ever learning, but never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. Are we there too? Yeah, we are. Verse 13 through 17 now. Let's go down there. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." They sent all them to Washington instead of keep them in jail. "But continue thou," he's writing to Timothy now, and he says, "Timothy, now can you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Now, Timothy is one of Paul's converts. Okay. "Things that you've learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and from a child." Evidently, he had some pretty good parents and grandparents. Yeah. But he had a pretty good mentor called Paul. Yeah, I'd say pretty good. Yeah. "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these people to come to hear your word tonight. Now, Lord, we're hungry and thirsty. Feed us tonight. Give us something to drink. Help us take something away from here that will not just feed our natural body, but to feed our spiritual body. And Lord, help us go out here on a cloud tonight, because we might, by the time we get out here, we may go up on a cloud. So we just will be on a cloud before we leave. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. If you don't meet with us, we won't really have much of a meeting. So Lord, we ask. We really do. We ask that you meet with us in a special way. Even as we sing the songs a while ago. And I was thinking it'd be Art Lakin, seeing anybody could preach after singing like that. I thought about getting up and running around the church house for just a minute, come back in and sit down. Oh, what great singing. Oh, what great words to those songs. And then, Lord, we're looking into the greatest word of all. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll all make an attachment to it in some special way for our individual selves tonight. So when we go out here, we can attack the devil head on. And Lord, we pray now that you'll just bless. If there's one here lost and without Christ, may they receive Christ as their Savior tonight. He's waiting for them. But when the rapture's come, he's not waiting. So he's waiting for them tonight to come and get saved. He really is waiting for them to come. Fact is, they may be the last ones saved before he does come. We don't know. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless. And for the saints that are here tonight, we pray that we'd all be encouraged by being hovered around the very word of God again tonight. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, see, you didn't have to stand very long. I got to stand a long time. There are three words that mean the word word, and we'll get there in just a minute. And whenever I share something that's supposed to be humorous, not all my stuff, but anyway, I do it on purpose, and this one is the same way. A man and his wife were giving each other the silent treatment. Do I need to stop there and explain what I'm talking about? Well, good. Amen. Well, we can move right along. And after a week of no talking, the man realized he would need his wife to wake him for an early morning fishing trip. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. and placed it on her pillow. The next morning, he woke up only to discover it was about 9 a.m. and he missed his trip. Furious, he was about to go and find his wife when he noticed a piece of paper on his pillow, and it read, "It's 5 a.m. Wake up." Now, I don't recommend that to be your marital solutions. But the point I'm trying to make by that is the very simple fact that too many of us are silent in regard to the Scriptures. Too many of us are silent in regard to letting the Scriptures speak to us. And when we do, we don't have a good, effectual working of the power of God in our lives. And I'm going to try to preach to you a message tonight, in which I hope will give, if you've not already got the victory, that these steps will help you to see that victory that everyone can have regardless of your age. Okay? If you're a teenager and you're going through some things, decisions and what have you, let me just say, just get in the Word of God and so on. Don't let it be silent to you. Okay? You have a pastor that's giving you Bible readings and so on and so forth. Now, they'll help you. But here in the Scripture here tonight, down in verse number 16, where all Scripture, and in verse 15, it refers to the Holy Scriptures, okay? And there's a word here that means, in regard to verse 16 in particular, the word Scripture, in a Greek. And by the way, I'm not a Greek student. I've just done this study, and it helped me. And I walk a little higher, so maybe it'll help you. And so anyhow, the word scripture there has to do with the word. How many of you know it does have to do with the word? And it says all scripture is given by the inspiration. Okay, all scripture. All right, now, when we look at inside this book and so on, this is all scripture. Okay? But the Greek word for that word scripture there is graphe. Okay? You say, so what? What graphe means is the fact that it is words on paper in content. Okay? If it's never opened, what good is it? It's graphe. All scripture is right here. But what it's saying is, basically, it's graphe. It's black ink on white paper, unless you got a red letter edition, then you got some red. Okay. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Right. How many of you know that regardless what you work at, what you learn, what you do as a job and employment and so on, you've probably looked in a few books to learn something. And your parents said, you're going to have to crack that book open to get out of there. What's in there, so get with it. Yeah, well, the same applies here. You can't give it the silent treatment and gain anything. Okay? It's not any good, shut. Yeah. So, we have one meaning, it means graphe. Okay? One time in particular, there was a little girl, and so she said to her mama, she said, Mama, what's pointed to the mantle and said, the Bible on the mantle and said, what's that book up there? Who's that book for? And she said, well, she's kind of startled, and her mother, quite startled by her daughter's question, said, why, honey, don't you know that's God's book? And she said, the child demonstrated she had a quick return on that thought, and she said, well, don't you think that we had better give it back to him? No one around here reads it. Whoa. Do you look for it on Sunday morning? I said, next Sunday morning. Do you wonder where you put it? Pretty good sign. Maybe it's silent all week. Hello. That don't work too good. Okay. And so my point is that the scriptures is no good until you get in it. It's graphe. It's black ink on white paper. Okay. So the second letter I want to mention to you is in John chapter 1. If you want to go over to John chapter 1. And it's the word logos. It's the word logos. So graphe means, if you will, scripture, a book full of words, you might say. And it's graphe. It's all scripture. Okay? And so, therefore, if it's not opened, it won't mean a whole lot. For example, I heard of an illustration one time of this older woman, and she is a good Christian woman. She had a son that was wayward, and he's the only son she had, and so when she died, well, she said, or got ready to die, she said to her son, she said, now, son, I'm going to give you my Bible. And in the pages, this Bible's treasure. Yeah, I know, Mom, I know. You said that. No. No, she said, I mean, inside the book, inside the covers, and inside the pages of this book, there's a treasure. And if you'll open it, you'll find it. Yeah, okay, Mom. Yeah, so on. So he lived his life as a pauper, poor guy. And so he got older and began to deteriorate himself and got ready to die himself. He said, you know, maybe I ought to go to Mom's book and see what treasure's in there. And when he went to her Bible and began to open it, in between every page was $100 bill. That he didn't even open. And he had a treasure. But he had a double treasure. If he'd have just opened the book. So we got a graphe. We got a book full of words and so on. And if we open it, we ought to get the treasure and so on. And Paul said to Timothy here, don't forget what you've learned and how you've learned it and where you've learned it and all that. And it had to do with the Scriptures. And then in John chapter 1, we have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, the Word of God has content and a message to it. Okay? In other words, it may be a book of words, but when you talk about the Logos, you're saying it's got an intent, and it's got a message in it. And by the way, did you know words are containers? Huh? If you don't think words are containers, you say, honey, I love you more than I could ever tell you. Now, does that contain something or what? Hello! Huh? Oh, you say, honey, say that again. Oh, well, anyway, we got to go on. But anyway, the point is that, hey, words are containers. They contain something. By the way, don't call your children ugly or anything, so on and so forth. They contain things too. My parents had never. I would have probably went into eternity prematurely if I'd ever said, I hate my brother or sister, I'm going to kill him. And I felt like it many times, but anyway. But my parents didn't allow me to say those words. Okay? And I would have probably went into eternity prematurely, but anyway. Words are containers. And the word logos means that it contains something. There's a message in here. There's a message in the words, if you will, please. And it's important that we understand that. Now, let me say this to you. There have been many times that I have sat in the pew where you sat, where you're sitting, I should say. And I didn't take much home with me. Oh, I come and sit. Yeah. Yeah. Bless me if you can. But, you know, hello. But I didn't take much home with me. And it's kind of like three friends decided to go deer hunting together. And one was a lawyer, one was a doctor, and one was a preacher. As they were walking along, came a big buck, and three of them shot simultaneously. Immediately the buck dropped to the ground, and the three rushed up to see how big he was. Upon reaching there, they found out that he was dead, but that only one bullet hole. Thus, a debate followed concerning who shot the buck. And a few minutes later, a conservation officer came by, and he asked what the problem was. And the doctor told him the reason for the debate. And the officer said, well, he'll take a look and tell him who shot it. Within a few seconds, the conservation officer said with much confidence, the pastor shot the buck. They all wondered, you know, how you know so quickly? The officer said, it's easy. The bullet went in one ear and out the other. I don't know if your preacher ever feels like I preach to people sometimes. I thought that's exactly what happened to them. I'd say, oh dear, you know, but anyway. Doesn't that have a second that went through? But the point is that I'm trying to make is the word logos has an intent about it and a content about it. Words are containers, and they mean something. And when Paul wrote here, or in Timothy and so on, he says the things that thou hast learned. But whenever John wrote over here, and he said, in the beginning was the Word, he was talking about too, as if in the beginning. Now you understand that when God spoke, he had an intent. In Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And the things which you see are not made of the things which do appear. In other words, when God said, I want an alligator, he didn't get an elephant. Hello. In other words, what his intent was of his words was exactly what he got. And you got to be, your elevator don't go at the top floor if you're believing in evolution, that God could do all these animals and so on within 6 days, and you used to call that evolution. You somehow you're one several bricks shy of a full load or something, you know. No. Because he did it in 6 days. And my point is that whenever he said, I want a star, you know, he got a star. Okay. When he wanted an ant, he got an ant. In other words, what he had in mind, he didn't take something that was already made and say, well, I will take some of this and put it over here, and then we'll make this. No, he didn't have that problem, you know. It's like the scientist, you know, said, well, I think we've got this thing all worked out now. We've learned how to clone people and everything. I think we can do it without God. I think one of us ought to go talk to God about this. And so one of the scientists said, well, I'll go talk to him. Okay. So he goes and talked to God. He said, God, now we've got everything pretty well figured out, you know. He said, oh, you do? Yeah. You know, we can clone man and so on and so forth and whatever. God said, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. He said, let's just go back to begin and start there. God said, that's all right with me. He reached down and got a handful of dirt. God said, no, no, no. You get your own dirt. No, you don't start with what I did. If you're so good at it, you start with nothing like I did. Yeah, but anyway, let's move right along. In other words, what I'm saying is, Logos means that the word has content in it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the word of God. It's got content, it's got intent, and it's got results. And when God spoke in the beginning and he spoke things into existence, they came into existence exactly like he said. And when he says your sins are forgiven you, you put it down, they are forgiven. And he don't miss a one, because the day you got saved, you could have named all your sins if you tried. You'd have forgot some of them. But he didn't. Because he knows every one of them. Yeah, and he said, I forgive you all of them. Yeah. Wow. So we have a intent and so on of the words here. And so in the beginning was word, and then the Bible says in John chapter 1, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. And then last but not least, and I could go further there, but Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7, because I'm going to get to an illustration about Jesus here in just a minute. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. I think I said 7:17. Okay. And we find here that he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And he said, the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. That word there is a Greek word called rhema or rhema. I don't know how to pronounce Greek, so I'll pronounce it my way. Okay. R-H-E-M-A. Okay. Now, rhema means that you speak it forth. It has to be uttered. So when he says, put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, boom, it's quicker and powerful than any two-edged sword. It is. It'll cut the sin out and put salvation in. Amen, brother. Yeah. And so we see that it says here, take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what I'm saying is, it's got to be uttered. What did David said in Psalm 119:9-11? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed therefore to the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hey, let me say this to you. If you're going to know how to defeat the devil, you better get some of it in your heart and mind. Because when the devil comes up, if you don't have something, he'll have something for you. But if you have the power of the word of God, you can tell him to go home. That's a polite way to tell him where to go. Amen. Hello. But if you don't hide it in your heart, what are you going to run that filter through when he tempts you? When you're seduced by somebody. Boy, we got some queer people today, don't we? Who had ever thought we'd think about transgender? Hello? If I would have said the word homosexual in my home, I'd have probably went prematurely someplace. You know what I mean? I mean, my dad wouldn't even let me think about things like that. And we let them in school, military, nurses, whatever. It don't make any difference. We got to be tolerant. And let me tell you something. God is not going to be tolerant of that stuff. He's not going to be. He hasn't been, and he's not going to be. Okay? And by the way, whenever people are shacking up together and all that, listen to me very carefully now. I'm trying to help you tonight. You attack the problem, not the person. Now, listen to me. Okay? It's the problem. It's not the person. It's the devil. Not God. Okay? So if you got a problem in your life, you attack the problem. You don't attack each other's husband and wife. And you settle the problem based upon either the graphe or the logos or the rhema. You say, what do you mean? Well, you go to the Word of God, you open the book. You look inside the book and see what the intent and the message is to you. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And if I read the Word of God and you're wrong, then you're wrong. If you read the Word of God to me and I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. The Word of God settles it, period.
Right, amen.
We go from there. And then we don't go around saying, I guess I showed her. Meow, meow, meow. No. Don't do them kind of things. You know why? Because a pancake will be flipped over one day. Oh. I've lived long enough to be on both sides of the pancake. Yeah. It's called pride. And I got plenty of it. But anyway. And God hates every bit of it, by the way. But. So I hope you've got the three. I'm trying to abbreviate this as much as I can. But I hope you've got three. You say, you don't look like to me, you're abbreviating. But anyway. We've got graphe, we've got the Word of God. We've got words in a book. Okay? Contained in the words of that book are the logos. In other words, they have a message inside. They have an intent for us in there. Okay? But then we also got a rhema. Rhema means we've got to speak it forth. Son, you can't do that. You see, according to God's Word, that's wrong. I remember one time we had a meeting with our children and so on when we was in Salisbury, and Dad said, I'm him. My son said, Dad, the deacons get to do some things that I don't get to do. I said, so, what are you saying? Well, you know, I think that, I said, well, we're not required to think, we're required to obey. And we're going to do what God's Word says, regardless of what the deacon's kids do. I don't have a chance to recycle. You only got one time through. Okay? And I'm going to do it right by God's Word the first time through. Amen? I can't recycle you. And I'm to take care of you. And the message in this book that we open now, we've got the graphe, lay it down at the table, open it up. This is what God's Word said, and it's not what a deacon said. Fact is, it's not even what I think. Sometimes my thinking is not thunking good, too good. Unless I base it on the logos, the message and the intent, and then I've got to speak it to you and say, that's wrong, and you're not going to do that. Because we're going to honor God. Okay? Yeah. Now, for the next hour, Matthew chapter 4. You remember when Jesus went into the temptation in the wilderness? After, if you will please, that he was baptized. And he was baptized by a Baptist after walking about 60 miles. By the way, it's not what's near, it's what's dear. But anyway, we'll move right along. And by the way, if Jesus was baptized by a Baptist, anybody ought to be baptized by a Baptist. Okay? Fact is, if you're not baptized by a Baptist, you've probably not got the right baptism. Understand, hey, that's a big battle today. Okay? I could go there, but I ain't got the time. But I want to show you something. Our Savior went into temptation right after the anointing and the coming down of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Wow! Man, I tell you, if I'd have heard that message, that's a pretty short message, you know it. Woo! I'd have probably walked across the Jordan about that time. Man, what a message. I'm there standing on the shores of the Jordan River and the voice from heaven came down. Hello. And I get to hear that voice. Whew. And I get to see the Son before I see him face to face. I've seen him by faith already, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah, but anyway. And so, we see here that we look about the devil tempting him. Now, let me say the lives in our homes and the lives of our churches and our individual lives and people around the world are destroyed for the lack of knowledge of God's Word. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." If you're having problems in your life, God is not the problem.
Right.
You put it down. He's never made a mistake. He's never done anything wrong. He has no regrets. Yeah. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. You lean on. Say, "Well, I don't understand." You don't have to understand. Just obey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The result of the blessing will come. Okay? Yep. It sure will. And, you know, "Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? But taking heed therefore according to the word. Thy word, my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So the Bible very clearly says we need God's word. And so here Jesus, our great example, teaches us this. Now, I'm not going to take a long time, but I just want to show you here. Okay. The Bible said, beginning verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4, "Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." How many of you have been tempted by the devil? If you haven't, you're a liar, okay? Because you have been, okay? You really are. You may not have recognized it. Doesn't make any difference whether you recognize it or not. He's very subtle. He's the subtle of all. And so, and he said, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," you say, "Preacher, do you believe that?" I mean, after all, most of people would have starved to death by that time. We'd have had to stop by McDonald's at least once in 40 days and nights. Fact is, some of them may do that tonight and you ate today. But anyway. But he fasted. And on the human side, he was hungry. The Bible said he hungered. How bad did he hunger? It's like the little boy said, "Mommy, I'm so hungry, my belly button is scratching my backbone." That's hungry. Jesus, the Bible said, he was hungered. He was tempted. You remember in Hebrews it said, he is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. Oh, the devils are working him over. And so here it says, "And when the tempter came," verse 3, "to him he said, If thou be the Son of God," well, that's a stupid statement to make, devil. He throws you out of heaven. You ought to know who's in charge. Hello, but anyway, let's move right along. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Devil, your elevator's not even equipped to run the motor. He made the whole universe, let alone a few loaves of bread. Hello. But anyway, the point is, he's talking about natural things because he was tempting him to obey his temptation because he was hungered in the natural. Okay. But did some preacher ever tell you that there is a Greek word called graphe in regard that means scripture? There is a word that means logos, which means intent and message. There is a Greek word that says rhema, which means you got to utter it. Well, follow me and you'll see all three examples used by our Savior right here. And we'll find out about verse 11 that the devil left him alone. Right. How many of you would like for the devil just to leave you alone? Right. Well, you're going to have to do it like he did it. Jesus was the living word. He had it hid in his heart. Right. Well, let's move right along. And the Bible says there in verse 4, but he answered and said, he what? It said he said. Did I say something about you got to utter it? Yeah. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You've got to quote the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God is not your authority. But you have that authority. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have the authority to say that. Yeah. He'll save to the uttermost. Fact is, he'll save to the guttermost. And he will. But he said, he answered and said, here's our example. Now, Jesus, he said, it is written. Did I say something about it? There's words written? Graphe. There it is. And then it said that there's words in here that mean something. And what was written means man shall not live by bread alone. That's the message. That's the intent. That's the logos. That's the truth. That's the Word of God. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Satan. You got that clear? Hello. So, he took the graphe, he took the meaning of the words and the intent, and he spoke them right to his face. Oh, smut face. He said, you got that, Satan? Now, he did that three times. Okay? Everybody know the story? You want me to go through all three times? It'll take you a while. But whenever you go... And by the way, he said, every time he said, it is written. And every time he said to the devil. In other words, every time you see the word graphe, you see the word logos, and you see the word rhema. Every time. You can't get a better example than Jesus Christ saying what he says we need to do to have the victory in our lives when trials and troubles come. You need to get the Word of God in your heart and speak it forth. Amen. Greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. I can do all things, not by myself, but through Christ which strengtheneth me. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, he was addicted on drugs, and he preached one of the greatest messages I've ever heard at 21 years of age. I haven't heard him preach in years. Don't even know if he's still in the ministry. Don't even know if he's alive. But this is something he said, and I'll never forget it because I was young and I needed it. And he said, I learned a long time ago that I don't have to sin. And nobody can make me sin. Did you get that? You volunteer if you sin.
Right. Right.
You're tempted and enticed and seduced and all that if you sin. We know what temptation is and all that, you know. But you still don't have to sin.
Right.
Boy, that helped me a lot. I was in the military one time, and I don't have to go through these stories of the military. What happens in the military? Hello? Yep. We had a friend of mine by the name of Prange. You're bunked up according to the alphabet. He was Prange and I was Pringle, and we slept pretty close together, and not together. Amen. I got to get that cleared up. But the point is that we used to go to PX, and he was raised at his parents always drank a can of beer every night when he come home. His dad, and when he come home for supper, he drank a can of beer. Good, you know, it was supper time, and so on and so forth. And so when we'd go to the PX, well, he'd say, "Pringle," I said, "What?" He said, "I'll get you a beer." I said, "Don't waste your money." He did that for, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 times when we'd go to PX together. I said, "Now, Pringle, this menu get something settled. You forget about buying me a beer because I don't drink beer." By the way, by the God's grace, I've never had an alcoholic beverage touch these lips. I've never laid these lips on another woman in my life in a passion like I have my wife. Not one other woman ever. By God's grace, I don't have to. I had a woman say to me one time, we was trying to do counseling, she says, "Are you afraid that I'll make a pass at you?" And I said, "You're not going to get that opportunity, lady." But nevertheless, I'm just saying here that Jesus Christ showed us the example. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ showed us the example that the devil will leave you alone if you will hide the Word of God in your heart. You know it's written. You know the intent and the message that's there. And you speak it to the old devil and you let him know what God Almighty has to say, and you tell him to go home and apply it. Well, you tell him how to get home. And notice here, the Bible says in verse number 11, then, third time, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came. About hallelujah time. Yeah. And ministered unto him. They probably brought him some strawberries and angel food cake. Woo! You could eat that most any time. Amen. I don't know what they brought him, but I'll guarantee you they ministered to him. And let me tell you this, friend. If you'll take the Word of God and you'll open the Word of God and you'll hide it in your heart, and when the devil comes to tempt you, if you'll spit out the Word of God in his face, I'm telling you, you can get the victory if you obey what you are saying from the Word of God. Yeah. And then just maybe the devil will leave you alone. But he don't leave you alone for long, because he'll be back. It is for a season he'll go someplace. But while he's a seasoning, you can be re-seasoning in the Word of God. Amen. Yeah, you can just... Why do we have our kids memorize Scripture? I go to one church and I'm blown away every time I go. Small country church. And every service, they have a time when the kids quote a chapter out of the Bible. Now, when I'm talking about kids, I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about children. And I asked the lady one day, I said, "How in the world do you do that?" She said, "We work at it." Evidently, you do. I don't know if they tell them what chapter to memorize and they send it home with their parents and what have you, but I'm telling you, now there's a little hesitation sometimes, but somebody will say a word, and then they all get involved in it, you know. And they don't have anything to prompt them. And the woman that's doing it, she doesn't prompt them. She'll let them sit there a while, you know, and think about it, maybe a second or two, and then somebody say, well, say a word. And here they go again, you know, everybody knows it now. You know, they reminded you, kind of like I am. But anyway, I said, wow, what value is that? I remember when I was in junior boys, small church, me and my cousin, only two boys, Myrtle Swinney, used to have us memorize scripture. Wow, what benefit that's been to me in my life. Brother, what you taught this morning, she taught us to memorize the first seven verses of that chapter. I can't tell you how. How many times old smut-faced devil has come along and I have started that chapter. Let my Savior said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I'm right here, and I'm His son, and I can take care of you. And it doesn't make any difference what the circumstances are. I got a message I preach that says, don't let your circumstances change your theology. Remember in Elijah, you know, the widow woman, you know, cruise of oil, barrel meal, remember all that? Elijah comes into her life and so on and so forth. Yeah. She's doing everything God's way. Elijah comes and said, hey, you fix me one first. And she did, and so she fed him and so on. And every time she went, she had some. Didn't she? Well, the Bible says. And then all of a sudden her son dies, and Elijah didn't even get a chance to pray for him. She goes to Elijah. By the way, when a woman loses her children, you better be careful, because they usually have a little bit of an attitude because they don't understand why God takes their children. The bad attitude is kind of like a flat tire. You just will change it before you go anywhere. Yeah. And so anyway, she said to Elijah basically in so many words, and I haven't got it quoted verbatim, but she said, what have you come here for? Have you come to judge me like you did Israel and cause a famine? You come to judge me? Is that what you're doing? No man of God, you say you are. And by the way, if you'll notice in that passage of scripture, Elijah didn't answer. Did you know the preacher don't always have the answer? Well, God's word has the answer. But Elijah didn't have the answer, and he said, well, if you'll just give me your son and your sorrow and your sadness, I'll take him upstairs and lay him down on my bed. And three times I'll give him CPR. And it's never happened before. Elijah never seen it happen before. Elijah didn't know it could happen before, but he knew that God could make it happen if he just asked him. Is there anything in your life you say, well, I don't think I've ever seen that in Scripture. You know, well, it don't have to be in Scripture. God can do anything he wants to anytime he wants to when it's needful. It don't make a difference what it is. And Elijah didn't have an example. He just knew he could do it. And he said, Lord, would you have the spirit to return to this child? I'm paraphrasing some, but he didn't say very many words. And God answered his request specifically the way he asked it. You know, sometimes you need to be specific about your prayer life. And the life came back into the son. And he brings it down out of the balcony and says, here. My point is, it changed her theology, but it didn't change Elijah's theology. Do y'all see that, or am I just got you out of here on a limb with a saw in the wrong hand? Because see, she got upset. You know, gratitude is the attitude that determines your aptitude. And so, it didn't change Elijah's theology because he just took it to God. And Jesus took it to God's word because he was the living word. So, tonight, I got to wrap this up some way. Have you done that? My point is, it's very clear in Scripture. There's a word for Scripture that's graphe. If it's like this, ain't going to be too much value to you. But inside here, there's a message and an intent. It just might save your children if you'd open it. Not only for salvation's sake and out of the devil's hell, it might save them out of a lot of other things. Hello? But you got to be dedicated to it. Dedicated to what? Crack it open here. And you read in it and so on. And I was reading Psalm chapter 6 the other day. How many of you ever read the scripture and never seen it before? Yeah. It says here in the last part of verse number 9, it says, "For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping." When I read that, I just scooted my chair back in my office, held my hands up and said, "God, just pour it on me." That's good stuff. I didn't know weeping had a voice. Hello. Yeah. "Lord, I'm being tempted and I don't know really what to do, but I'm crying out to you because the Word of God says I can't cry out to you. I shed tears and so on to mean I need your help. I believe you'll help me." So we have the graphe, we have the logos, and then if we're going to be able to speak it forth, we better either know the scripture or the address. How many of you sometimes you say, maybe you all not this way, you remember things, you're so educated, you don't do this, but sometimes I know of a scripture I want to look up and I'll say, now where is it? And I'll have to go to concordance and find it, and then I get there. Yeah. I'll say, "Boy, that's a good drink of water. Wow, that refreshes me. I believe I'll get up and go on from here." Why? Because we have the Word of God on it. My friend, let me tell you something. You'll not have victory with God unless you walk with God. And you walk with God in His Word. And if you walk in His Word, hello, it ain't long till the devil says, "I can't win." So for a season he goes away. But in a little while, if you've got children, there'll be one of them little devils come around. I mean, there'll be one of them children come around. "I don't understand why I can't do so and so." You know, well, the God that made the universe for us and gave us everything we needed in 6 days to sustain our lives, He knows how to take care of us. He can take care of us physically, and He can take care of us spiritually. If we'll just open it up and let it inspire us like He inspired the Word. I think I told Brother Sam or somebody today, I said, sometimes whenever I would study to preach and so on, sometimes God would give me a drink of water that I'd never seen before, and I'd just scoot my chair back from my desk, hold my hands up in the air, and I'd say, Oh God, help me to pour it out to your people like you're pouring it out to me. Hello. It's good stuff. Did you know, if you're saved, every one of us has already got eternal life. You're in eternal life right now. And like we sang the song, "We'll go face to face." Whoa. Said, "Preacher, do you really believe that?" "Yeah, they." Yeah. You see, I'm never going to die. I'm just going to change location. Yeah. If you don't love me here, you better try, because you're going to have to love me up there. Because that's where God is, and that's where love is. Amen. Say, "Preacher, could you go on?" "Yeah, I could, but I got to let you go." But just don't forget. Don't forget. He really has a word for us. And the words are containers, and they have a message and an intent in them. So memorize some of it so that you can give the devil a hard time. And just maybe the angels, when you've hungered for things and you open God's word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is all we have. This is all we need. Mwah! Love it. Hide it in your heart. Walk with God. Walk in the word. And I'm telling you, the devil will have to go someplace else to find his chores. Let's all stand.